Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Ditto. Matt and Ash here. We're really excited for today. Matt, how are you doing?
Doing well today. I love summer. I'm looking out like an old man out my window, and it's just blue skies and sunshine. And so it just makes everything that much better when the weather's on point.
Yes, so, I love
I'm doing
summer
well.
Too.
How are you, Ash? How are things
doing
going?
Doing good. Today's an off day, and Jeff and I started off the off day by going for a walk in our neighborhood, and it was really nice. Like, the weather was nice. It's, like, getting warmer and a teeny bit more, like, humid, but not, like, unbearable yet. So
still
it
not
was,
there yet, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. It was actually funny, because when we're still new to our neighborhood, so we don't know a ton of people. But when we go on walks, we usually, like, we'll meet someone new. And there's this house, like, close to the mailbox. And there's these two boys that you could tell they were brothers, like, getting the mail. And there was one, like, older brother and one younger brother. And the older brother had, like, two packages. And it looks like he let his younger brother try and take, like, the rest of the mail, like, all the, like, envelopes and newspaper or whatever. And the older brother just kind of, like, took off before the younger brother. And the younger brother, like, couldn't hold all the paper, all the mail with his little, like, bike that didn't have pedals. You know, the bike where you just, like, push with your legs. And then, so the little brother was, like, in the middle of the street with the mail all over the floor. And he was, like, yelling at his older brother because he couldn't do it. And the older brother just kept walking. And then a car starts coming. And Jeff's like, oh, watch out for the car. And so the younger brother got so upset, he, like, threw the mail, picked up his bike, and, like, threw it off to the side and just, like, stomped away. And it was so funny. So Jeff and I went over there and, like, picked up the mail and helped walk it back to his house. But it was just, like, pretty comical.
That's funny. Yeah, that's great. You guys live, like, near farms and a lot of open space, and right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really
cool.
Nice. Yeah, we enjoy
That's
it. Yeah. Well, is it summer break for you already?
Yeah, it is, actually. So the semester ended like almost a month ago. Well, let's see. Graduation was May 4th. We're recording this on June 5th. So it's been a month since spring semesters. This has gotten over. And we're now in summer semester. So I'm teaching online and doing some other things.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you want a dad joke to start off? It's not, again, I got to come up with better content, but it's not that great. Nonetheless, maybe some will find it funny.
Okay, let's hear it.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so how many sports psychologists does it take to change a light bulb?
One?
Yes, just one, but the light bulb needs to oh my gosh the light bulb has to want to change. That's your punchline, and I just butchered it. So how many sports psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? It just takes one, but the light bulb has to want to change.
Very, very
ha,
deep.
Ha ha ha. Ba-dum-bum-bum. Anyways,
that's a good one.
That was my joke.
I feel like it was a good joke to segue into our topic today, though.
That's why I brought it up.
Very
Thank
smart.
You for pointing that out.
Yeah very well thought out. Well, what's our topic today?
Yeah, this is something I'm really passionate about. I know you are too, because we've obviously talked about this, I think, for the last 6 years of our lives together, that is. So our topic overarching is mindfulness and meditation. But within those things, we'll be talking about kind of the core components of these wonderful things of meditation and mindfulness, which is awareness, essentially, and acceptance, and how powerful it can really, really be when integrated. So I'm going to have a lot of questions for you in terms of its application into the real world / sport. So are you on the edge of your seat, ready for some of these questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First and foremost, mindfulness and meditation. So let's start with mindfulness, because it is really kind of this overarching way of living. So what is it? if we look at a lot of the literature, this is essentially in every point of contact with this literature that I've dived into the past 10 years of my life, you can really distill it down into four components. In this particular definition / distilling down, if you will, comes from Jon Kabat-Zinn. That's his name. He's major researcher, practitioner within mindfulness and meditation. I think he was or is at MIT, but he's been all over the world. This is how he defines mindfulness. It's paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. So those four components. Now, how does that differ, mindfulness, from meditation? Because a lot of the time, I think, especially the lay person, we're just throwing these in and using these two terms interchangeably. There is a difference. So mindfulness, as I just described, paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally, it's really a way of living and doing everything and anything in a mindful way. So it's an ongoing, essentially, awareness of everyday life. That's mindfulness. Now, when we want to be more formal and actually develop that awareness and be deliberate about it, that's where meditation comes in. And so meditation is a tool or method to develop mindfulness. So there's this thing often called mindfulness meditation, and that's where a lot of people, I think, go to when we talk about these things. That's like you're sitting down, you're closing your eyes, you're concentrating on your breath, you're going through a recording, or maybe you're just doing it yourself. That's more mindfulness meditation. But there are, even under the umbrella of meditation, many other types of meditations, whether it's loving kindness meditation, a gratefulness practice within meditation. You can do an active meditation. I just did it this morning, actually, with my app. It had you pick an activity like exercise, walking, washing the dishes, and doing it deliberately and paying attention to the different senses and going through some of these different avenues within this kind of holistic human experience via meditation. So there's your differences. So mindfulness, way of living, meditation, more of kind of the formality or tool to develop mindfulness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So why is this so influential for me as a father, as a husband, and why has this been the guiding avenue for me as a practitioner within sports psychology? There's many reasons, but here's the main. The main one. It trains the individual that actually is engaging in mindfulness and or meditation. It's training them to be at ease with the mind. Who wouldn't want that, right? And especially as an athlete, in any sport, you can argue that being at ease with the mind is going to be of enormous benefit. And so when we do this as an athlete, you, especially in meditation, you're essentially acquiring the skill set to act intentionally rather than habitually. Because especially when we get in these pressure situations and we haven't trained our mind to act intentionally and facilitatively in those type of scenarios or moments, we're going to go back to old habits. And most of the time, those old habits, those old reactions aren't going to be of benefit. And so that's when especially we experience stress and anxiety and rumination and overthinking, right? And so as a result, rigidity of the body, physiological symptoms are now coming out. And we can't perform our best. We aren't performing like we know we can be performing and allowing our body to do its thing. So especially, you know, college to professional levels, in theory, your body knows how to kick a penalty kick. In theory, your body knows how to run a 100-meter sprint. You've been doing it for a long time. So the mindfulness piece of this and allowing the mind to be at ease is just allowing this process to happen. You're intentionally saying, I'm going to accept. I'm going to allow for this to happen. So that's essentially why and the what behind mindfulness and meditation. Now, when I introduce this to especially athletes, what are some initial challenges when practicing mindfulness? And I know this was, I mean, I'm not speaking for you, but I guess I am. Here we go. Let me know if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Increased awareness is increased awareness. Mm-hmm. And so you might think, okay, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, you're becoming more keenly aware of what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And oftentimes it's like, holy bleepity bleep. Why am I saying that to myself? Why am I allowing anger and frustration to take over as much as I can?
Mm-hmm.
So inevitably, and this is where I would love your take, Ash, the non-judgmental, aka acceptance piece, tends to be the most difficult over time, but over time can be the most beneficial, especially for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts on that one especially. Because I know you got a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely agree with that. I feel it's almost like those, like the saying, like it'll get worse before it gets better. Or it gets harder before it gets better. I think a common sign of athletes that like need to work on this or need to address it is when you're avoidant. I think a lot of times we'll try and avoid how we truly feel or what thoughts we're actually having because we don't know how to address them, or we'll think like, oh, if we just like sweep these like feelings of doubt under the rug and have a better game the next game, then they'll go away. But like that's always going to be there. So I think feeling those feelings of avoidance are not fun and not helpful, and so we need to turn those feelings of avoidance into feelings and action of like awareness and actually addressing what our thoughts are, how we're feeling, and recognizing like how they're actually affecting us. And then once you apply that awareness, then you can decide how to like move forward. And I think the non-judgmental part is huge, because especially as athletes, we want, well, our performances are essentially always being judged. So it's hard to not bring that judgment into ourselves and be like, oh you're scared or you have this self-doubt, you must be weak. And it's like, no, actually it's a big sign of strength if you can address this like head on. It's like any problem, if you address it head on, then you can accept it and then move on and overcome it. And so I think that non-judgmental part is also like so important when it comes to mindfulness and awareness and just being able to add more of that ease to the mind. Because like I've been there before where you're kind of having that like internal battle with your mind, and it's so exhausting, and it just will consume 100%. You, and it takes so much energy away from not only like your sport but also from life, because it will bleed into the rest of your life. So yeah, I like how when we have this mindfulness and awareness, we're able to be at ease with our minds.
Yeah, beautiful. Everything you just said, couldn't agree more. When I say these terms, especially to athletes that where mindfulness is new, I say non-judgmental and acceptance, it paints kind of a weak connotation. And, you know, lack of control. Like, I'm not just going to allow life to happen to me. I'm going to make life happen. Like, you know, you hear those phrases. And it's like, I get it 100%. But guess what? There's going to be 1,000 things every minute, every day, whatever, that happen to you that you don't have any control over. So sorry. And guess what? You also don't have 100% control over your own thoughts and emotions. And I know a lot of people might disagree with that, but that's how I strongly feel. However, you do have influence over your thoughts and emotions. And to get there, you need to be accepting that you have crappy thoughts sometimes. You need to be accepting of, I have detrimental emotions sometimes. But guess what? You're a human being. Emotions and thoughts are going to come and go. So why push against them? Like you just said, it's so exhausting. Whether you're a professional athlete or a mom or a business person, when we try to push against something, it's like this soda can and we shake it every time we're pushing against it. And guess what? It's going to explode or implode, right? at some point, and it's not going to be fun. So the non-judgmental slash acceptance piece, again, is so, so important. It can also be the hardest, but it is 100% can be the most beneficial. It's just simply acknowledging reality for what it is. That's what it is. And when we're able to do that, we're able to get to the point of eventually, like you said, Ash, being at ease with the mind. And then that's where the power happens. Then you can choose intentionally, like we were talking about, to direct your thoughts in this place, to direct your emotions in this place, to utilize the human, especially inner human experience, for your good rather than the bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to emphasize, because Ashley alluded to this, she didn't say it explicitly, more implicitly, it is a skill set. And you have to be deliberate and consistent with this stuff, with mindfulness and meditation training, or you're never going to get to this point of, quote unquote, being at ease with the mind. Just like a physical skill set, you need to do it and practice it every single day. So you might ask, especially if you're a sports fan or an athlete or coach, well, who actually does this that, you know, we know of besides Ashley Hatch, right? Like who, any of the goats, like do anybody that we might know actually do this? There's a lot. And I would argue the goats of the goats do this very deliberately. In fact, I have an amazing quote that I always use. You've probably heard of him. His name is Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've said this before, Ash. The Mamba mentality has been an inspiration for you over the years. The way he went about training and competing was, I mean, I would argue his mentality was even better than Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan is arguably the GOAT. But his mentality, the way he approached training and competition, was unbelievable. This is a direct quote, and I can send this in put it in our notes. He's being interviewed years ago. Obviously, Kobe has passed away, but he's being interviewed about his mind and about the emotional experience. This is a direct quote from the Mamba himself. This is what he said. What I try to do is just try to be still and understand that things come and go. Emotions and thoughts come and go. The important thing is to accept them all, to embrace them all, and then you can choose to do with them what you want versus being controlled by emotion or thought.
So good.
Unbelievable. It's everything we're talking about, right? Like everything that we want the audience to understand, and everything I try to do as a practitioner, like that's summed up by Kobe. Like that's why he was the way he was, especially psychologically, but it also affected obviously his physical abilities as well. He didn't try to control these things. He accepted them. He recognized that frustration and anger is a part of the experience. That's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I often tell people, especially athletes, but this again, folks, this goes for anybody wanting to be better mentally, especially at anything, view emotions and thoughts like clouds in the sky. Clouds, no matter what, are going to drift on by and be done. And if it's during the day, no matter what, on the other side of clouds is a blue sky. Mm-hmm. Think of that as your thought and emotional orientation or experience. In fact, I was just driving back actually from southern Utah, and we, as a family, so I have a 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And it was amazing. We were driving back through some of these canyons, and there was a storm. And on one side of the freeway was the storm. And it was like kind of coming our way. And on the other side, it was just blue skies, beautiful day. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's like, wow, like, look, how is there a storm and like sunshine at the same time? It's like, ooh, here's a wonderful mindfulness teaching moment as a father. And that's what it was. And it's just like the thoughts and emotional experience that we have as human beings. Sometimes those thoughts are rain clouds. Sometimes those thoughts is a hell storm. And it's horrible, and you get stuck in rumination and overthinking. But guess what? You let that go. You accept that this is what you're experiencing. There's going to be blue skies on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it, and you have to do it deliberately. And so it's the acceptance. It's the letting go. It's the observing from a distance. It's choosing what to do as a result of all of that. and then you'll get to that point. You will, but it's a deliberate, consistent daily practice. And so I want to ask you, Ash, how have you deliberately and consistently done this? I know what we have talked about this pretty extensively over the last 5-6 years of working and being together and being friends. What have you done? What have been some of your kind of your tactics, the tactical approach to this, if you will?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you said that we train the mind to act intentionally and not habitually, I feel like because since we've been working together and I've been more consistent and more intentional about like this mindfulness and like my meditation and just like doing things to create more mindfulness and like ease of the mind, when I do have like a bad thought or am struggling with something, I'm like habitually more intentional. Does that make sense? Like it's become a habit now for me to like not just like run with those thoughts. So because I've been practicing, because I've been practicing it so much that it's now a part of like just my normal everyday routine is being able to just have this awareness and be very non-judgmental about it and not get too high or too low. And I feel like it's also rubbed off on Jeff. I feel like he's now like, cause we'll have conversations, especially about soccer all the time. And I can sometimes see him like his like mind, like getting going. Yeah. And I'm like, no, like bring it down. Like it is what it is. Like let's accept it like, and move on. But some things that I've done, like I love meditation. Game days, like meditation is like a must. Like I have to. I would say some other
what does
like
that look like.
So for me, like my game day routine, like I have a pretty like dialed in routine now because I've been playing for so long, like so seasoned, you know. But I always meditate. So I meditate after I took my shower for the day and right before my nap. I feel like it's a good time for me just because I'm like winding down, like the shower like helps me like calm down. And then I actually sit on the floor by my bed and I use the Headspace app anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. And whatever the theme of, you know, the day is for that meditation, I'll use, but I also kind of incorporate this, you know, visualization, imagery aspect into it as well. So like I'll go along with the meditation, but when there's like lots of like silences or they kind of give me time to do what I want within the meditation, I'll incorporate that like visualization, especially for a home game or if it's an away game, the stadium that we're going to be playing at, like just like the thoughts and the feelings that I want to be feeling and warm up like during the game. It's not like super like pinpoint specific, but just more like general like vibes and how I want to be feeling going into the game. And then I'll usually take a nap after that. And I feel like the combination of that is actually just like really calming and gets me like settled and ready for the game. And that combination has become like key for me on game days. There's actually a game this year that I didn't do it. I still like, we still had a good game, but I was just like upset at myself for not doing it because I do feel like it makes a difference. And then just like, when it comes to like everyday life for like some of these exercises that I do to like just be more intentional, as I actually have really enjoyed sitting out on our front porch and watching the cars drive by. I feel like it's very similar to what you're saying with the clouds or in Headspace. I think they talk about watching a river, like a stream, kind of just like watching it go by. So I've actually really enjoyed whenever I can, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, sitting out on the porch and just watching the cars drive by, because we're kind of by like quote unquote main road in our small town. And it's really fun to just kind of watch them go by very non-judgmentally with like no purpose. I feel like it just gives me a sense of like calmness and stillness and just kind of like no agenda, just being very present. And I always feel like really good and really refreshed after that. So those are a couple of things that I do. I also like really enjoy journaling. I've gone through like different like exercises or different like small journals that have like small little prompts like daily and stuff. But I feel like that's another way to be very present and very non-judgmental and just kind of reflect on how the day went and not really like label it as good or bad, but just like, this is what it was. And now we move on, go to bed and do it all over again.
Yeah, I love it. You mentioned so many tactical approaches that I was going to bring up. So that's what Ashley Hatch does, everybody. Here are some things very much similar to what she is doing or has done that you can do as well, whether you're, again, an athlete or in any other domain of your life. Figure out how what pre-training looks like and post-training and everything looks like for you. So pre-training preparation, beginning with the mindfulness practice, visualization, imagery, rehearsal, incorporating that with it and or after it is a beautiful way to do it. Body awareness and kind of sensory focus, especially I love this one for training. So as you're going through the drills, you're just recognizing how your knees are feeling, how your lungs are feeling, how your hands are feeling. That's a very mindful, sensory focus way of bringing that to that moment. Mindful movement, similar to that. When you go on a walk, notice the steps. Notice how your feet feel. Notice the arm swing. You're moving mindfully. Or if you're in training, or if you're especially in the weight room, notice how it feels to put a barbell on your traps and go down, right? And then attention training. So we're practicing attentional focus as we're counting our breaths. We can do this by sitting down and formally meditating, closing our eyes. Or we can do it, again, where we're actively engaged in whatever else we're doing. And then you mentioned journaling, which is so beneficial, kind of post-training reflection, whether it's competition or practice or whatever. So individually and or collectively, even if you're on a team, right? Discussing what went well and ways to improve. That's bringing mindfulness or a mindful moment to those different scenarios. So everything you just said, and that this is 100% backed up by, quote unquote, the science. So there's two more things I want to talk about, and then we can wrap this up, Ash. Often I love bringing this up because it's so awesome to see this supported by the literature. Well, what are the benefits to this? What are the benefits to training, meditation, and mindfulness? I have 8 for you.
Okay.
And I have the references for those of you that want to cite check me, because I know that's important. I come from academia and I want to see your citations. So if you want these, please let me know. And I would be more than happy to send these or put these in the notes or whatever. Number one, increased performance. Yes, as broad as that is, your performance is going to increase. You're going to experience more success. And there's, again, literature that points to this. Number two, increased likelihood of getting into flow or the zone. You're way more likely to just allow things to happen and thus experience a zone or flow-like state when we practice meditation and mindfulness. Three, obviously increased attention. You're able to direct your attention and focus where it needs to be, when it needs to be. And so I often bring this one up, especially with golfers and baseball/softball players, because they spend so much time thinking. And so inevitably you're going to think about a lot of things during like a 4-hour, 5-hour round of golf. So what can you do to bring it back when we need it to be? Increased attention. And then number four is focus. 5, susceptibility to choking. You're less likely to choke, especially under pressure, when we've practiced mindfulness and meditation, which I think is an awesome, awesome one. 6, reduced incidences of injuries. And, really cool, days lost to injury. And so you're less likely to experience injury. And then when you are injured, you're more likely to recover and get back to play at a more rapid rate if we're practicing mindfulness and meditation. Number 7, increased well-being and decreased depressive symptoms. Mm-hmm. This is an obvious one, but I think is really, really important. So kind of off the court, off the pitch, if you will. You have a lot to do in your life and you're by yourself or you're with your partner. And oftentimes that's when depressive symptoms start to set in. So how can we be proactive, right, about mental health in general? And meditation and mindfulness definitely facilitate that. And then the last one, reduced hostility, which is one of my favorite ones, an emotional regulation kind of orientation. You're more likely to be regulated and to manage those emotions, frustration, anger, happiness, joy, all of them, when we are practicing meditation and mindfulness. So there's your science. Let me know if you need the citations/references. Be more than happy to send those to you. Here's my last tidbit, Ash. You mentioned one app specifically that's been of benefit to you, aka Headspace. I love Headspace. I've been doing Headspace off and on for like 15 years, 18 years maybe now. Love it. It is something you have to pay for if you want to use all of the content within the app. But it is super simple. Recording, meditation, you can get in there for 3 minutes. You can get in there for 25, just depending on whatever you want. And it's fairly educational. I like that about it. My favorite that I always introduce to athletes new to this concept that is of meditation and mindfulness is Healthy Minds Program. It is very educational. And they also are also similar to Headspace, including the recordings for meditation recordings every single day. And it takes you through these different modules. So you're like a student of meditation and mindfulness. It's a beautiful app. I love it for many reasons. Here are my two main reasons. Healthy Minds Program. One is it's free $99. You don't have to pay. Don't have to pay for anything. Yep. So dissimilar to Headspace, you can get in there and use everything. Don't have to pay anything. Number two, and I know this is true, folks, because I heard the creator/leading researcher of this app say this. And I trust his research and I trust his lab at the University of Wisconsin. His name is Davey Richardson. One of the leading researchers around meditation and mindfulness and just wellness, I would say worldwide, but especially here in the United States, he has a Healthy Mind Center research lab at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and they developed this app. So number two, why do I love it so much? It's the only evidence-based app, 100%, in the entire market. Everything in this app has been researched. And from my perspective especially, I love that. And so I can very confidently say to this athlete, to this coach, to this student, go download Healthy Minds Program because everything in there is awesome. And it's been thoroughly backed by research. So that's one way or two ways, I guess, you can start to get after this, folks, is going and downloading some of these apps, going through the content, and getting in there and start practicing some of these things that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got, Ash. Any other thoughts with all of this? I know this is kind of a lot, but do you have any other lingering thoughts for this?
No, I thought it was really good. So the 8 evidence-based or like reasons, what was it again? Benefits. I wrote down in the notes, benefits of mindfulness and meditation. Is that what they were? Okay, cool.
So there were 8 specifically benefits to meditation and mindfulness.
Yeah. When you were reading them, the last one, the reduced hostility, I was just kind of giggling to myself because I feel like a good test of like where you're at with your mindfulness is like road rage. Because especially Jeff might get mad at me for exposing him like this, but I can tell when he's in a good headspace and when he's not in a good headspace by the way he reacts in the car. And I'm the same way too. He's just a little bit more vocal about it when we're together in the car. But I feel like if people are needing a good like test about where they are, I think being aware of your road rage is a good one.
Huge. Yeah, it's a good test for me too. I'm glad you brought that up. Perfect example. Yeah.
But no, anyway, I think all of these are all really, really important. And I think it's a good time for me to share my ditto of the day, if you're ready to share your ditto of the day.
Beautiful.
I really like when you said be at ease with the mind. I think that really resonated with me. And I feel like you can tell when you're at ease with your mind or not. And so I feel like my challenge, I guess, or my invitation to our audience is just kind of reflect on that and see where they're at with their relationship with their mind. If they're kind of like having like an internal like battle with themselves, or if they are at ease. And if they're not at ease, then maybe try a few of these things that you mentioned to help, you know, facilitate that mindfulness through a meditation, journaling, active meditation, whatever it may be. I think if people haven't tried these things, like just trying them, I think they'll actually notice a lot of those benefits that you mentioned.
Yeah, I love that one. My DOTD.
Nice.
I can't say that because every time I'm like, okay, I gotta get this right. My DOTD is this: systematic and consistency. Just like any other skill set, you have to be very systematic about it, and very consistent with this. You can't, and I get this a lot, unfortunately, with especially from parents. It can't just be a one-time fix it all, band-aid approach. It might help for 24 hours, but if you really, really want to see long-term results, start doing this every day for months, for years. That's where it's going to be of most benefit, 100%.
Yeah, totally agree. Awesome. Well,
Awesome.
thanks, Matt, for sharing all of your knowledge with us. Really appreciate it. And it's always good for me to refresh on all of these things. For our audience, if you like this episode, please like, share, and subscribe. If there's any specific topic that we haven't hit or any specific question when it comes to mental performance, mindfulness, life, whatever it may be, please feel free to share with us what you're interested in learning more about, and maybe we can see if Dr. Matt Moore would grace us with more of his knowledge. But as always, we appreciate you all being here. Thanks for being along with us, and hope you have a great day.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.